Finding a way to balance work, family, friends, and daily tasks can be difficult. Add in cell phones, email, social media, and the constant need to multitask, and you have a recipe for stress, lack of time, and focus, and of course, unhappiness. Author David Scott knows how difficult it can be to find balance in life, but he doesn't think that life has to be a constant balancing act. He joins us on the line right now to talk about his new book titled The Longest Distance. David, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you, Angelo. Good afternoon to you and good late evening to us here in Singapore.
That's right. Now, what's the time difference?
It's pretty easy in terms of the math. We're 12 hours ahead of you, and I can assure you that things are looking bright.
Okay, so we appreciate you joining us, considering that time change. And we want to talk, this is something that I think everyday people are experiencing now, right? Just how busy they are in their lives. So what made you want to write the book, The Longest Distance?
You know, it's an interesting question because, you know, ever since I was a child, I used to spin that globe, and wherever my finger landed, I was not only going to visit, but have a best friend there. And then ultimately, I went about living my life, traveling the world, building relationships, and more importantly, cultivating a greater relationship and sense of truth with myself through every new individual that I interacted with. And then ultimately, what it seemed to make sense was that there was a book coming out that kind of helped to explore one man's journey and the answer to his questions.
How young were you when you first started touring the world, or you started moving?
You know, I was somewhat late for some in that regard. I guess I didn't really leave the country till I was in college, and you know, my father and my brother and I took a wonderful trip out to Africa, and you know, nothing was ever the same after that.
For strengthening a relationship, how does that create balance?
You know, let's talk about the most important relationship, which is the relationship we have with ourselves. Because ultimately, whether it's love, whether it's in our profession, the work that we do in the world, if we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves, like ourselves, love ourselves, get to know ourselves, then it's virtually impossible for us to have a fully healthy relationship with another. So it's an inside-out process, Angelo, and sort of begins and ends with us. And as some would say, take care of yourself first so that you can better take care of others.
How deep does someone have to get to like you said, love themselves and develop a relationship with themselves to be comfortable in? Because I would think, like myself, I'm very comfortable with the person I am, but I feel like I've never had to really dig deep to find that out.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, like Michelangelo once said when asked how did he create these such divine sculptures? He said, I saw the angel and then I carved until I set him free. And I think, you know, in a way, there's a deeper set of gifts that are available to each of us, and they're not the same gifts, but we all have gifts inside ourselves. And the closer we get to the truth of who we are, the easier it is for us to see and then ultimately actually to like and love that part of ourselves and then to bring that forward in a powerful way for the world.
Yeah, I mentioned, David, too, about finding a way to balance work, family, friends, and daily tasks. And then, you add in the cell phones, the email, the social media. Does someone have to remove some of those elements, like the social media, the emails, the cell phones, in order to have self-discovery?
Well, I would say this, and I'm not unrealistic about it, because I also carry my smartphone, and I've got all my devices,
right.
And I live in Singapore, where everybody's entirely connected in, where they're essentially looking down and nobody's looking up. So as a realist, I know it's impossible for us in today's world to say, shut it all off completely for good. But I would say this, Angelo, that it's really important that we have our methods, our ways in which we unplug from time to time, and then therefore plug in to some deeper part of ourselves, whether through some form of, say, meditation, contemplation, walks through nature, through the woods, some kind of exercise that frees us up. And, you know, so we all have our own methods, but what I would encourage people is ultimately to discover some means by which you can get connected more with yourself. You don't have to give up all that technology, but you just have to utilize it as the tool that it is instead of making that the end of all means.
How does someone discover their true purpose?
It's a process of There's a lot of external stimuli out there that will reflect back to us many things. But I would say it reflects back to us a number of characters that we play. You know, like Angela, you mentioned that you generally like yourself, which I think is actually a statement that many people can't make these days in American society, at least. And I would say this, that the ability for us to be able to sort of recognize that there are many characters that make up the composite of who we are, but that there is one central point of us that is the truth by which all these characters evolve from. And so I would say, okay, well, sometimes I'm this kind of person and sometimes I do that, but the essence of who I am, and that's what I mean by taking the time out to go in to get to the essence of it, is very important for us in being able to build an agreement with ourselves that say, I know who I am, I like who I am, and I'll be who I am.
Mm-hmm. What do you want, or what do you hope people will take from your book, The Longest Distance?
You know, it was a wonderful journey for myself personally in terms of my own self-discovery. You know, the character mirrors many of my experiences in many ways. And what I would say is this, that this one particular character, Jeremy Braddock, was shaken and awakened by an event in the first chapter that set him on a course in the answer to his questions about love, about life, about truth. And he didn't really know where this was going to take him. But to actually let go and to trust in the process of letting life take you where it's going to take you is incredibly, courageous. But it's also, it's something that many people fear. And I would say if people could identify with this character in some way, shape, or form and say, you know what, to find and muster that courage for me to walk the path that is mine to walk in this world, wherever it's going to take me, I would hope that it will inspire others to do the same.
Speaking with David Scott, who is the author of The Longest Distance, you're a world traveler. From looking up your bio, you started at relatively a young age. Is Singapore your final stop, or what's in David Scott's future?
Well, you know, I lived in Dubai, I lived in Bogota, Paris, for quite a few years in China, now Singapore. And the answer I always give, Angelo, is I'm here until I'm not. And so when people say, well, where are you from? See, I was born in America, but I'm from wherever I am. You know, so it's very important for us to accept, as kind of like Confucius said, no matter where you go, there you are. Which to me says two things. One is being present no matter where you are, and the other is you can never get away from where you are. And so I'd like to consider, Angelo, that wherever I take myself next, it's portable, the paradise that I choose, which comes from inside. So if I can make it portable, then wherever I am could be a good place.
Does that mean that wherever you are, you have to take in that culture and make that your culture?
Yeah, and that would be a recommendation I'd have for all of your listeners as well. Whenever you travel, you know, we always think about what we need to take with us. I think it's more important to look at what baggage should we leave behind. Mm-hmm. Because when we leave behind what we know is familiar in Canada or in the U.S., and we travel with an openness and an embracingness to basically say, look, I'm here to experience. I'm in France, or I'm in China, or I'm in Singapore, and I come here to experience the culture, the people, a different way of looking at life. And so instead of taking your baggage with you, I'd say leave it behind.
I couldn't agree more. Very informative stuff, David. Thanks for joining us. How can people find out more information about and maybe get themselves a copy?
Well, certainly the book you can find through our website, authordavidscott.com, or through Amazon. There in Canada, you can get it through Kobo and all other electronic forms. And I also encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at dscottwrites, W-R-I-T-E-S, and we'd love to have you.
Best of luck with the book, David. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it, considering the time change and everything. Good luck.
No, I appreciate it, Angela. You take good care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.